one of the most serious misconceptions that many of us have about the Christian faith is that God is some kind of a pussycat, that God is a household pet that you can cuddle up to, play around with, and tease and use for your own purposes. It's really amazing how many folks, even good church-going folks, really do not take God with utmost seriousness. I think it is even shown in the way that some people come to church, quite often distracted, hoping that perhaps the preacher will say something amusing, but never really expecting anything significant to happen while they are here. It means we do not really take our God very seriously. We sometimes treat him like a pussycat. And yet the goodness, the good news of the gospel proclaims the good news that our God is a God of unconditional love, and that we must never, ever forget that. But at the same time, Scripture constantly emphasizes that God is God after all is said and done. God is God, and we must never forget that either. We must never forget how to stand here in his presence with a spirit in our heart of awe and wonder and reverence. Never forget the mystery that is our God. Never forget how to stand in the presence of God's power with a good, healthy, wholesome fear of the Lord that we read about in Scripture. But to remember that fear of the Lord does not mean to be afraid of the Lord, but it means this constantly deepening awareness of the mystery of God in our heart. Going through Scripture, we can think of the prophet Isaiah, who was confronted by God in a worship experience like this. But he fell on his face in humiliation, because the experience of the worship made him so humble in his heart, because he became aware how he was rebelling against God in his life. We can think too of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, agonizing there in the presence of God to such a degree that he broke out in bloody sweat. And we think of the Apostle Paul, who was confronted by God on the road to Damascus with this vision of the risen Lord that blinded him. And for 3 days, he could neither eat nor drink. So overwhelmed was he by that experience. We can think of the author of the book of Hebrews, speaking to the Christians who were falling away from the faith, were taking it lightly. And he wrote, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." In the gospel passage we just heard, it's our loving Savior who so emphatically instilled this wholesome fear of the Lord into those people who had become the money changers in the temple area. Through those experiences and many like them, the biblical message always is that our living God is not a pussycat. Or to put it conversely, when we enter into the presence of God, we are, as it were, entering the cave of a tiger. I remember years ago, there was a little prayer book for children in which the author described what it might be like if you did enter the cave of a tiger. He asked, how would you feel? What would your emotions be like? How would you react to that kind of an experience? And then the author of the prayer book went on to suggest that once in a while, at least, we should really have that kind of feeling in the presence of God. That when we come to worship, or even when we go to our own private place of prayer, wherever it might be, there are times when our heart should beat faster and pound, and even the heartbeats come more rapidly. And yet I wonder, when was the last time that happened to us? When did we come here to worship with a real sense of preparation and alertness over what was really about to happen in mystery? The truth is, the same mystery of God is here for us as it was for Moses then, so that we too today, in some kind of way, should be ready, as Moses was, to take off our shoes, lest we desecrate this holy place. The same with Isaiah. There are times when we people today really ought to fall on our faces in humiliation because of what is revealed to us in our heart when the Word of God is opened up to us. When we discover the incredible self-centeredness in our heart, the terrible capacity we people have to hurt others. And we too have times in our life when we should perhaps sweat blood as we struggle to know better the will of God in our lives. And there are times when we, like Paul, need to be blinded by the light of the Lord's purity and holiness and goodness. For it is indeed a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. There are times in life when the good news of God's love for us needs to be balanced with the good news that the God who does love us is God. God is God, the source of the overwhelming power that is able to transform us, resurrect us, bring new healing and new life and hope into our hearts, no matter how discouraged or depressed we might be. That this is for us an overpowering presence, the presence of God, the same today as it was for Isaiah and Moses and Paul. And that's why we need to realize from time to time that to enter into the presence of God is to fall into the hands of the living God. It is possible to realize that this very morning, some one of you who came here now could just possibly leave as a completely different person. But God has the power to do that. Possibly you may have been playing fast and loose with the truth about yourself, or you may have been hurting other people, messing up their lives and your own, and then discover by the light of God's Word and the mystery of the presence here that you begin to understand your life better, and all of a sudden you are turned inside out. God has the power to do that here with any one of us. Others may have come here for spiritual and emotional healing. In some cases, the power to heal becomes so intense that it can happen instantaneously. God has that power that it can happen here. Possibly some of us in the second half of life are trying to convince ourselves that we are at the point where nothing really very much is going to happen to us any longer to change us. And yet God has the power to create new creatures regardless of our age. Some years ago, at another parish, I received a letter from a mother, a young mother of three young children. And she wrote, "I have been searching my heart to understand all that has been happening to me during the past 3 years. I've been wondering who I am, why I am here, and where I am going with my life. I don't have the answers yet entirely, but through prayer during this time, I am now beginning to see that the fog is starting to lift and sometimes even disappear. And as I look back over the last 3 years, I become sometimes surprised and sometimes bewildered because the events of the past are sometimes hazy. At other times, I don't even recognize myself as I am now compared to back then." She said, "Through God's grace, the past now has become dim because it was not until 3 years ago that I began to pray, even though moments of turbulence and depression sometimes continue, all through human nature. I know by God's grace, I will never again sink as far as I did. I can never turn back," she said, "because God has made me into a new creature." Sometimes it happens instantaneously, other times it's a longer process, but it happens. The overwhelming power of God can change any one of us so completely that we will not even know ourselves when we look back after 2 or 3 years from now. And it is that mystery that is able to make any one of us tremble. That it is enough to make us alert to what can happen to us when we enter the presence of the living God, as we do here now. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, this welcoming, deepening awareness of the mystery of God in our hearts, that mystery that brings us the kind of enduring inner peace and healing that we want.
Thank you.
Let us pray the act of faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one in being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he was born of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under